Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats, silence your cell phones, for you are now listening to Much Ado About Wrestling!
Welcome, fair listeners, to Much Ado About Wrestling, the show that is squarely on the road to WrestleMania, but totally without a map. I'm one half of your scholarly presenters, Andrew Terrence Caberline, and with me, as always, is the punishing prognosticator, Tyler Ward. Tyler, how are you? And follow-up question, are you impressed that I didn't mess up saying the word prognosticate?
Oh, I'm good, Andrew, but oh no, I'm seeing something over here. I'm seeing something in your future. I'm seeing pain.
Oh, no. This is a good, like, early 90s WWF gimmick. Like, yeah. I feel like you could have, like, a wizard hat on, and you could, like, throw a crystal ball at people, and it would be...
I'm gonna tweak it. I'm gonna dress as, what was that? Arcade machine, fortune teller, Zoltan or something like that?
Zoltar. Well, no, wait, hold on. Zoltar is the, like...
What show is that from? Well, what movie?
You're thinking of Big.
Yes,
because
that's
he does the machine. But Zoltar is the name of the like, alien cult in Dude, Where's My Car?
Right? Oh, Zoltan! Yeah, you're
Zoltan.
Right.
Oh, sorry, that's Zoltan. Okay, so one of those is
maybe it's Zoltar.
Dude, Where's My Car, and one of them is Big. Welcome to a podcast about pro wrestling.
Yeah. I was going to get the Zoltar get up, and then Miss Chloe is going to be my...
nice. Manager. Miss Cleo.
Yeah,
with your psychic reading. That's my terribly insensitive impression of Miss Cleo. Man, this is, I think, a good introduction.
You wanted loosey-goosey, Andrew.
Yeah, this is going to be the loosiest-goosiest episode for us so far. Mm-hmm. This is a whole episode about predicting the future, kind of. We're going to be looking at the AEW... Women's Championship, AEW Women's World Championship Title Eliminator Tournament.
Woof.
Right?
Part 2.
Yeah.
Turbo.
Yes. Tournament Edition. So we're going to be looking at predicting that tournament and then doing the Herculean task of trying to predict WrestleMania, even though we have Elimination Chamber and Fastlane between then and now. Normally, we would be able to predict this card with some sort of confidence. This year, not so much. And we'll get into the many reasons and theories. So if you love fantasy booking, this is going to be the best episode of Much Ado About Wrestling ever. Yeah. Well, I guess before we get into just total chaos, let's talk about the biggest news item in wrestling at the moment. And I'm laughing at my own joke of saying, did someone say crossover episode? So Kenta has arrived in AEW.
The door is open.
Yeah, he showed up on Dynamite last week, interrupting the main event, wearing a Go to Sleep Club shirt that had the outline of the state of Florida on it. And then he fought alongside Kenny Omega as two Bullet Club members who were never in the Bullet Club at the same time. They fought together, and there was a whole lot of shenanigans on Dynamite this week. So Tyler, we know that this confirms that AEW has some kind of working relationship with New Japan Pro Wrestling. I guess my first question is, how extensive do you think that working relationship is?
Oh, Andrew, it's happening. It's happening. I'm so pumped for this.
So you think this is full blown?
I think there's going to be limitations currently with COVID still happening and travel restrictions. But once, and I am reluctant to say the phrase once COVID is over, because it's not going to be over but yeah. like anytime soon. But so once that travel restriction and stuff is passed, I think the possibilities are endless, really. I don't see any reason why we can't get the Kenny versus Kota dream match at some point. Once again travel is cleared up, maybe we can get this massive joint pay-per-view we talked about between AEW and New Japan and Ring of Honor and AAA and all
an Impact
and Impact
too. Yeah.
So I think the possibilities are endless. Again, everything right now is limited by COVID restrictions and stuff like that. Because that was the thing that I heard about. I think I was listening to a podcast or something about it that I forgot. Technically, Kenta still lives in Florida. Like,
I did not know that.
He never like moved his family back to Japan. Like, they still live in Florida. So
that's how he's been able to swing this.
Exactly.
Somehow.
It was fairly easy for him to swing this because, like, he didn't have to fly over from Japan. Like, I guess the last time he was there would have been Wrestle Kingdom, and like he's just been in the States. So
yeah. So that throws a wrench kind of into the plans for me because of that restriction. I would have thought that they would have held off jump-starting any of this until they could freely move people around. Mm-hmm. But I understand how the storyline between Kenta and Jon Moxley in particular, like, has been drawn out so long that if they saw an opportunity to resolve it, they needed to do it right away.
Correct
me if I'm wrong. Have they already announced when that match is going to take place? And is it taking place on AEW television or on New Japan Pro Wrestling Strong? Like the U.S. Show, which is now on Roku TV.
Yes. So I don't know for sure. If I was a betting man, I would say it's going to happen on New Japan Strong.
Yeah. So that makes me think that it could be kind of a one-to-one trade if that is if that is what's happening and this is all to allow New Japan to pump their new show with like this big match that's been a year in the making. Maybe that means that we will definitely get Kenny versus Kota, but I don't know if there will be any other sort of crossovers.
I mean,
that's my pessimistic view of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're already setting like planting the seeds for either the Bucks or the Good Brothers or some amalgamation of that versus like Tama Tonga. Jay White, they've already mentioned them by name in backstage things and on commentary and stuff like that. So I think that's certainly a possibility for one. It seems like it's all mostly going to come down to this like Bullet Club storyline thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think we're going to see just, you know, an exhibition match between like Jericho and Okada or something like that. I think everything is going to be tied to Bullet Club in some way.
Yeah, I think that's about right. And it only works now because there is a Bullet Club presence permanently in Impact now too, with the Good Brothers being there. So since you have different members' home bases being all over the place, it's funny. I feel like this is the time to actually pull the trigger on like the Bullet Club coming back together across promotions and being like them versus the world in like a very real way. I could see that happening, but you're right. It would be weird to try to shoehorn them back in with the current members of the Bullet Club.
Yeah.
Although seeing Jay White in the States in any kind of promotion would be fantastic as well. So I guess TBD still, but we're keeping an eye on the story. Well, here, one more thing. What did you think of Kenny Omega and Kenta together as a pair this week?
I mean, I liked it. The match itself got very absurd.
It wasn't really a match. It was television.
It was television. It got real absurd at some point. As someone who has worked in like restaurant kitchens like that, there was definitely like
a lot of barbed wire baseball bats,
a sense of dread. I was like, oh man, like when Archer threw that whole crate of potatoes, I was like, oh come on man, you could use those. One probably rolled under the deep fryer. Like, you don't just get that out. Like, that's there forever now.
Yeah, you only get that out when it smells bad enough that, like, people have to go find it. Yeah.
I liked it. I thought they were a good pair. It was interesting. After Dynamite, they did a backstage segment. It was, like, a little news press conference with Kenny, Callis, and the Good Brothers. And basically the point of that was Callis trying to be like, oh yeah, like the Bullet Club, like what's good for this Bullet Club is good for every Bullet Club. I don't know, like you can very clearly see they're planting these seeds of like the American centralized Bullet Club already thinks itself superior to the Japan version.
Yeah.
And so it's, I like the idea of having this, like, you know, global Bullet Club presence unified, but it perfectly already lays itself for this is already a faction that has like been built upon betrayals and mutinies. So
yeah.
Like,
yeah, that is very true.
It builds itself perfectly for that. But yeah, I'm excited for it. It's happening.
It is happening. You know what else is happening? The AEW Women's World Title Eliminator Tournament.
You're
I'm going to get it right one of these times. So that started this week on Dynamite as well. And this is now going to be the beginning of our prognostication in this episode. A totally fantasy booking from beginning to end. So this week we had our first match in the 16-woman bracket to determine the number one contender for Shida's title. Both you and I and our AEW correspondent Sarah all filled out brackets March Madness style. We're going to keep checking in to see who guessed their bracket most correctly out of the three of us.
Yes. Last night, who could have busted my whole bracket?
Yeah. You could have been. Did you sweat it at all?
I sweated it like a little bit. I was, oh man, that could have busted my entire thing.
I mean, I stick by my statement that I said to Chelsea last night when I had Dynamite on, where I was like, you have to come in here and see Thunder Rosa when she comes out, because I was like, this is the next big star in women's wrestling. In my opinion, and I think that it's because she has a, beyond being like bilingual and looking different than everyone else because of the face paint, she has a MMA background, even if like she's only lost in MMA, but she has an MMA background and works that style of a match, but is smaller than pretty much anyone else that she fights. I feel like every other MMA fighter turned wrestler is always presented as being physically superior to everyone they fight, right? So I just think that I don't think there's anyone else out there right now specifically like her until we have some sort of like woman straw weight UFC fighter who like who moves over.
I think Tay Conti could be like close to it, because they like she is, I think she's like a black belt in jiu-jitsu or something like that, but
she is Brazilian, right?
So. Yeah. And they mention that on commentary all the time, and you can see in the way she wrestles. So it depending like how they presented like her, she could also sort of match that role. But yeah, the presence of Thunder Rosa is wholly unique, and it feels very interesting and fresh. And that's why, I mean, my pick, I think Rosa is winning this whole thing. She's my number one.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. We have all three of us picked someone different.
Yes.
As our winners. I pulled up our brackets here, which if you're listening right now, I put all of these images in the show notes. So you can look at the brackets along with us, and you can see how our handwriting is and why I decided to put mine in Excel to avoid showing my handwriting. So you picked Thunder Rosa to win the whole thing. I took Britt Baker. And,
good choice.
And Sarah took Anna Jay.
Good choice as well.
Oh boy. It's going to be really tense for Sarah and I when Britt and Anna fight in the first round
match. Yeah, that is, ooh, that's going to be rough.
Well, speaking of first round matches, the only one that's taken place so far was Thunder Rosa defeating Layla Hirsch.
Yes.
So I know you mentioned to me off air that you already are regretting one of your first round choices.
Yeah, it was immediately, I had filled out the bracket, I sent it your way, and I immediately was, because I saw your bracket and I saw Sarah's bracket, and I was like, oh god dang it, there's no way that Riho is losing in the first round, this being her like grand return. We haven't seen her in over a year. Former AEW Women's Champion.
First AEW Women's Champion.
First AEW Women's Champion. Like, there's... foolish, Tyler. There's no way she's losing that first round, even if she is facing the NWA Women's Champion.
Yeah. I picked Riho. Sarah picked Riho, and you picked Serena Deeb in that matchup. But I will say, now I actually kind of regret picking Riho because... Oh. Because of Thunder Rosa's promo.
Talking about getting her belt back,
yeah. She's like, I have three things I want to do. One of them is win this tournament. One of them is get my belt back from Serena Deeb. So it seems very, very apropos, almost like design storytelling that they would fight in the second round.
Yeah.
It would be an upset, but I guess not that big of an upset since Serena Deeb is...
Since this is an champion. Episode of fantasy booking, I'm just going to say, what if Thunder Rosa and Serena Deeb go to the semifinals, Rosa beats Serena Deeb in a non-title match, thinking, oh, I can beat you, I've proven it, give me a title match, gets the title match, then loses again, and Serena keeps the title. And this, my whole point of saying this is my reason for why Rosa is going to win. I think AEW is trying to sign Thunder Rosa today, like as soon as possible. And so... Maybe NWA, like, I mean, obviously when her contract's up, they can't, you know, do anything. But maybe NWA is going to be like, okay, well, obviously we're going to make our champion look strong. Yeah. So you could do that, have Serena keep the title, and then Thunder Rosa eventually makes her way to AEW, which I am confident is happening.
Yeah, I think that is the number one point of order for AEW in this tournament, is kind of to show... to Thunder Rosa, the performer, that they have plans and high regard for her, right? I don't think that she'll win the tournament unless she's already signed her contract.
Oh, really? Okay.
That is why I have Britt Baker winning. And also because I think that it is kind of time to pull the trigger on her.
Finally, yeah.
Yeah, I think she's had a year of... immense character development, and I think we both have talked about the criticisms of the AEW women's division in the first few years of the promotion on this show, and I think having a mouthpiece heel is probably what they need in a champion right now, to get it going, to make sure that the title is prominently featured on TV, put it on the person who they're giving the most TV segments to, right?
Yeah.
And then if you signed Thunder Rosa, you say, well, great, because we're going to make you the face who chases after this title for...
Yeah, and they already have a built-in feud that they've been working on for the last couple of weeks, so...
Yeah, yeah.
Britt is a very good choice, and I absolutely agree with that point, that as much as I love Hikaru Shida, she's excellent, but she's not the best promo right now, and this is, of course, just like a language barrier for her. Yeah. But so it's, again, if you want to build this division and make it a prominent focus of your weekly television show, then you need to have the championship present. You need to have the champion give weight to it, make people want to tune in, want to see these matches. And Britt Baker is probably the best choice right now.
Yeah, I think she's the most complete product who is 100% signed to AEW, my argument.
But I do want to mention that Sarah, our AEW correspondent, has chosen Anna Jay, and this is because, she's very high on Anna Jay right now.
I am too.
Which I think everyone is right now. And I think there's a lot of potential in Anna Jay. I absolutely think she could be a champion, and I don't know if she's the one you build this division around, but it's also a very, very solid pick.
Yeah. I will say, okay, just on this side of the bracket to go through quickly, you had Rosa, Deeb, Nyla, and Anna. Mm-hmm. Or sorry. Yeah, you had Anna too.
Yep.
Oh, wow. I can't believe that.
Sorry, buddy.
My pick is literally, literally, oh boy, I could be in trouble right away. Mm. Sarah had Rosa, Rio, Nyla, and Anna Jay. I had Rosa, Riho, Nyla, and Britt Baker. We all seem to think that Nyla is going to get there to make whoever wins to, yeah. Britt and Anna look better.
Yep.
And then you've got Rosa beating Nyla. Sarah has Rosa beating Anna, or has Anna Jay beating Rosa, and then I, Britt, beating Rosa. Mm-hmm. So then let's look at the other side of the bracket, which I think is more of a crapshoot for us just because of a lack of exposure.
So I definitely had to Google the names to get the pictures and see if I know them.
Mm-hmm. Some I knew of them, about half.
I know some of them. So like Yuka Sakazaki, the first one in the top, she's wrestled for AEW before. I can't remember specifically the moniker they gave her, but something like the Flying Girl or something like that.
Well, she was the one who gave Britt Baker her concussion, right?
I don't remember that.
I believe she was, which is why I've seen some people pick her to come out of the Japanese side of the bracket.
Yeah.
Because there's a built-in story if Britt makes it to the finals.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, she was very over, like, when she was wrestling actively with AEW before COVID and everything. So I think she has a lot of potential. The following on Mei Saruga, I don't know who she was. I had to look her up, and I was like, this is unknown to me. The same going down the list. Venny, I don't know who was, but
Venny is my pick to make it to the finals.
Are you familiar with her?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm familiar with her mostly because she was in Stardom and other Japanese women promotions. Okay. She is someone who originally went by the name Asuka.
Oh, wow.
And then when Kana came to WWE and became Asuka, Asuka in Japan became Venny. Mm-hmm. So
okay.
I think she is, like, outside of Aja Kong, she's the most physically imposing person.
I was going to say, that was my only thing. I haven't seen her matches, but she looked very physically imposing. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, she's going to do well.
Yeah, here was my thought with it, is that I didn't think Emi Sakura was going to win because she is, other than Aja, is the oldest person in this tournament, right?
Yes.
So I was like, okay, so they're going to put over the young people. Here is a showcase for Venny. So she's at least going to make it to the second round.
Yeah.
And then looking at Yuka, I know that she is like Riho-sized, right? She is not huge. So I was like, okay, I think Venny will make it through there. And then will be up against someone else who is smaller than her in Maki, you know?
Yeah.
Let's look at the bottom half, I guess, of the bracket now, too.
Sure. So the next match is Maki Ito versus Ryu Mizunami. Mm-hmm. So this one, I was honestly, of all of these, this was the one I was most torn on.
Yeah.
Because I haven't seen much of Maki wrestling, but
I've seen her tweet a lot.
Exactly. Her online presence right now is like blowing up, and she is hilarious. And so I can really see her going a far way. I think I'm seeing her at least get to the finals for the Japan side.
Yeah.
But I was torn on this one because Ryu Mizunami is Rainmaker Girl.
Yeah.
She's the Joshi wrestler from the Double or Nothing like years ago, who was literally just like Girl Okada. She had the jacket and like the getup and the hair. Like, I loved her. I thought she was incredible.
Yeah.
I really wanted her to do well, but I think Maki's going over.
I think whoever wins in this matchup will make it past Aja Kong or Rin.
Yeah.
Because like there's no reason to have Aja go far in this tournament.
Again,
she's there to like for some star power and to make people look good.
Yeah.
But I think Maki is kind of the female version of Yano, right?
Like that's sure.
like from what I understand, she is someone who loses most of her matches but is like a comedy wrestler.
Yeah.
And Yano's been winning a lot recently.
Yano so wins, man.
I think that there's potential for Maki to have a much bigger American star presence because, like, for the same reason that, like, even diehard fans like us know her comedy chops and maybe don't know that she is someone who loses most of her matches.
Yeah.
So, like, you could erase that right here.
Exactly. Clean slate.
Yeah. So I think I have her going to the finals just because, or sorry, going to the Japanese finals just to match up specifically with Venny. But yeah. You and Sarah both have Yuka getting there. Mm-hmm. You have Yuka getting all the way to the finals, and Sarah has Maki getting all the way to the finals. So all three of us picked a different person on the Japanese side, too, which is fun.
Wow, yeah.
Speaking of the actual tournament itself, Tony Khan has said that the Japanese side of the bracket will have a unique presentation and feel. What do you think that means? Like, what do you envision it looking like?
So this is my question, because is the Japanese side of this tournament, is it happening like wholly under and like an AEW umbrella, or is this like, you know, sponsored by Stardom or something?
I think
like
probably
that?
The latter, right?
Okay.
Like, I think most of these people are signed to Stardom. And
yeah,
it's gonna
so I mean be, I don't see any reason why it wouldn't be look like a Stardom presentation, because also that's a great way for Stardom to you know, get some presence in an American audience or something, and be like, hey, this is what our product looks like all the time, like, why don't you tune into Stardom? I don't see why it wouldn't be like that.
I think it might even be, I hesitate to use this word because it doesn't mean exactly the same thing in wrestling anymore, but I think it might be more cinematic, and that I think mm-hmm. it will be more edited, you know? Like, I think yeah. maybe it'll be lit like almost how Raw Underground or Lucha Underground were lit, and mm-hmm. they probably taped these matches without an audience so that they mm-hmm. could do multiple cuts. I think the idea is going to be to make all of these women look as good as humanly possible and then see who pops and sign them. I think they're going to use editing to make everyone look as good as possible.
Yeah.
Would be my guess.
So I think they already announced that the first match on the Japan side, Yuka versus Mei, I think is going to be on YouTube, on AEW's YouTube show.
Oh, well, maybe that's just what they mean of it being a unique presentation.
Maybe.
Honestly.
So I will say our AEW correspondent is not happy about this. and I share her concern, but I also understand that I can see why AEW would be reluctant to just show this pre-recorded Joshi match like on Dynamite. Like, okay, mm-hmm. and now we're going to go watch this 20-minute match possibly or something like that.
Yeah.
So I can see why Dynamite would be reluctant to do that. But at the same time, it does feel kind of like, oh, God, you're doing it again, AEW.
It might literally be a rights issue.
It could also, I guess, yeah, it could also be that.
Like Stardom might be like, you don't have the rights to air this in an American market on television, you know? Like, I don't know for sure, but I could see that being a sticking point. Or because you don't want to alienate the live audience at
Dynamite tapings
right now. I think that, like, yeah, I get it too. It doesn't look great if you're like, this half of the bracket is just as important as the other, but then it's, you have to
this
go
half
like, find
is only
it.
Going to be on YouTube.
Yeah, if they, I would put them all on Dark. Like, if you could, like, that seems. That
I wouldn't
seems
want them
better.
All on Dark.
But like, if you can't put them on Dynamite, then putting them on Dark would make more sense. Which is why I think there might be a TV. I guess that's not really on TV either. All right, we'll see. Right. Tony Khan, we got some questions for you. But I'm excited. We're going to check in every episode and see how many points each of us have mm-hmm. and see who is the women world title eliminator tournament champion, prediction champion.
Prognosticator.
Yeah, the true prognosticator. And with that, I feel like we should just keep on prognosticating, right?
Absolutely, because it only gets harder from here.
Yeah, this was the easy stuff that we just did.
Yeah.
We've been watching WWE forever, but we're both kind of in the woods going into this next segment. Mm-hmm. So this is the uncharted road to WrestleMania. No, this is not some kind of crossover about Nathan Drake. I wish. We both talked about the Royal Rumble in our last episode and about how it usually starts to suggest the form and the formation of the card for WrestleMania, right? WrestleMania 37 coming up in April, on April 10th and 11th. The issue is with two more pay-per-views before then, Elimination Chamber and Fastlane respectively, and the fact that Edge is being coy about who he will challenge, it's actually still totally wide open as a card. So we're going to try to predict and lock in our total card for WrestleMania 37.
Way too early.
Even though it's like less than 60 days or something like that.
A lot can happen way too in early. The wrestling world.
So we're going to try to predict it. And we're gonna argue, but we're still going to be friends. We're going to have to try to come to a consensus for every match that we put on the card.
Okay.
So how this worked, listeners, is Tyler and I both wrote down what we thought the card would be on our own. And the rule was any match that both of us had put, like if we had matches that matched, that they would go on to our final combined prediction card. Do you want to take a guess on, out of our 16 predicted matches, how many we had in common?
We had two matching.
Three. Tyler?
Yeah.
You were right the first time. Two is correct. Okay. We have two matches that are the same, and one of them isn't even totally the same, but I'm counting it.
Okay.
So the two matches that will begin on our card is the SmackDown Women's title will be between Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair. Lock it in. We both think that this is 100% going to happen. I would say that, too, they've already started teasing this match on television.
Sure. So, quick little side note. I actually audibled mine. And to be fair, when
did you change it?
well, to be fair, when I sent you my first list, it was Sasha versus Bianca. But I just recently audibled it to, I think it's actually going to be a triple threat, Sasha versus Bianca versus Bayley now. But we can keep Sasha versus Bianca.
yeah, I'm going to keep that on there.
We can keep that. And that was my original guess.
We can potentially put Bayley in there too, because... Well, I'll get to that because in a second. The other match that we have on the card, we each had it a little bit different, but it's close enough that I'm putting it on. You had The Miz with John Morrison versus Damian Priest with Bad Bunny.
Wow, that was the one we matched on?
I had Miz and Morrison versus Damian Priest and Bad Bunny.
And Bad Bunny, okay. Yeah.
So I'm going to put, like, it will be one of those two things on the card, but we both think that that is going to be the celebrity involvement match for this WrestleMania. So that means we have two matches on the card, Tyler. We have 14 more to go with. And the problem... I think the first problem we have to address is we have to get on common ground about what the two main events are going to be.
Okay.
So do you want to tell the audience what you picked for your WWE Championship and WWE Universal Championship matches and why?
Yes. So I'll start with the easy one. The Universal Championship, and I was booking this to be the main event. This is going to be the last match, I guess, of night two. And we are going to see Roman Reigns with Heyman ringside defending the title against Edge, the Royal Rumble winner, with Christian ringside. Now, if I'm going to, like, you know, really delve in deep here, I think Christian ringside for Edge is going to be a surprise that happens later in the match. Christian is going to be like teaming, like buddy with Edge in the weeks leading up to this. Maybe we see a tag team match, Roman and Jey Uso versus Edge and Christian, because that would be cool as shit.
Yeah, seen that in Fastlane. I think that that is actually like the potential of that match, that tag match, is the best evidence for for Roman Reigns versus Edge, honestly.
Yes. And so I'm predicting, if we're really getting deep here, that Roman and the family take out Christian, it may be like, you know, a week before, or maybe even earlier in the night, something like that. And then Christian shows up halfway to help Edge even the playing field. Edge comes out the victor as a Universal Champion.
I think we both kind of think that Edge winning a world title will be what ends WrestleMania, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's happening.
Yeah. And then what did you have then for the WWE Championship?
So this one this one was more of just like, I hope they do this. And I realize that more in that these two men are on different brands. But I booked Drew defending the WWE Championship against Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
And I think the impetus behind this is just that suddenly I don't see a challenger for Drew.
Yeah.
Like Goldberg, he's beaten Goldberg. That's
he's
how
he's beaten a lot of legends.
He's particular. Beaten a lot of legends. He's faced Orton God knows how many times. The only like real potentials were like maybe Braun, but like I don't want to see that match. So I was thinking, like, who is he not faced? What would be a really great match? And God, I'd love to see Drew versus Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, that would be a great barn burner of a match.
Yeah,
I have a suggestion for it that I'll get to in a second here, because like here,
well, yeah, what do you have for your main event?
Here's how mine were different. I think we both said that like whatever Edge does, whatever he decides he's going to do in storyline, will then set like everything else for WrestleMania,
right?
Then all the dominoes are going to start dropping. For a bit, I was still kind of convinced it was going to be Edge versus Randy Orton at WrestleMania.
I was too, until he won the freaking Rumble.
I still think this a little bit, because I think the new wrinkle that Drew is going to be defending the title in the Elimination Chamber match is a bit worrisome.
Okay.
I think that the final three people in that match, regardless of who wins, are going to be Drew, Sheamus, and Orton, right? Mm-hmm. And you could easily put the title on Orton there, have Edge be like, I wasn't going to, you know, go this way, but now that Orton's got it, I have to. And then you could do Sheamus versus Drew at WrestleMania. So I almost went with that, and then I backed out in the last second. And I was like, you know, Drew's entire thing is that he is beating legends and old-timers this entire year. He just beat Goldberg, who no one beats, so you can't have him lose the title straight up right now.
Yeah.
And I think that it makes the most sense that the biggest legend left for him to beat is Edge. So I had Drew versus Edge.
Okay.
And then on the
Drew
SmackDown,
winning though?
I didn't pick winners.
Okay. I'm not.
Yeah, I'm not going that far in this crazy far out there That's prognostication. Fair. And then I had on the other side, I was like, well, you have to put the biggest star you have up against Roman then. So I had Roman versus Seth on that side.
Ooh, okay.
I think I am willing to go with your plan of Roman versus Edge. I think that is the two biggest stars they have in a year where, like, I don't know that there will be that many part-timers back, right? So are you willing to lock in?
I am. I'm fairly confident on Edge versus Roman, because it just lends itself to it. It has the spear versus spear element that, you know, WWE is going to love play up that. Heyman and Christian angles are very.
Yeah, you have all
intriguing.
Your biggest people in one thing you can promote around. Okay, so we're locking it in. That's the third match out of 16 on our card. So then I'm going to suggest this for Drew then, because I think that has to be the next thing that we figure out.
Yeah.
If he needs a big legend to fight, I think he will win at Elimination Chamber. He will beat Sheamus one-on-one at Fastlane.
Right.
And
that
then,
sounds good.
Yeah. And then he will fight Triple H at WrestleMania.
Ooh. You want to lock in the game?
I kind of want to lock that in. I read a bunch of like...
It's not a bad guess.
I read a bunch of rumors from like websites, both trusted and very untrusted, leading mm-hmm. up to this. And like, there are some people reporting that he's training again right now.
Yeah.
And I feel like they need, like, this is a year where I feel like they actually need his presence.
Yeah. See, it's not a bad guess. That is not a bad guess at all. And again, I really struggled to feel like, who is Drew going to face now?
That's the problem, is like, if it's not Edge and if it's not
Braun,
Sheamus, like, or Sheamus, it doesn't, or... it, and I really think there will be a one-on-one Drew versus Sheamus at Fastlane, no matter what.
That's a good prediction, because also Sheamus is again upset that the Elimination Chamber is happening, so
yeah,
that's a good tie-up to that storyline. Tell you what, let's do it. Let's lock in the game.
All right, we're locking in
the game
for the WWE Championship, Drew McIntyre versus Triple H. I almost, for a second, I had AJ Styles in there and then went against it. Okay.
Oh, against Drew?
Yeah.
I debated on that one. I did.
So where do you want to go? You know what? Okay, I'm going to bring us back to our potential of adding Bayley to Sasha versus Bianca Belair, right?
Okay.
Because there is another match that we almost both put down that I'm going to pitch to you right now.
Okay.
And it's a match for the WWE Raw Women's Championship.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's going to be Asuka versus Charlotte versus Lacey.
Ooh, okay. Interesting.
I think we both know that there will be at least one match that is Charlotte versus Lacey between now and... Because Elimination Chamber is Lacey versus Asuka. That is happening.
So I had put just Lacey versus Charlotte in like a grudge match as one of my matches. And the more I thought about it, the more I was like, man, there's two pay-per-views between now and Mania. That's a ways to go. I don't know if this Charlotte-Lacey feud has the longevity to make it to Mania.
I think it's another Fastlane match.
it might be another Fastlane match. Like, I don't know if that has the longevity to get there, so... My original one, I put Asuka defending the title against Nia Jax, which, again, I'm not confident on that at all. I was just kind of like, who's available?
I think, like, any chance that... I mean, you could do a lot in 2 months, but any chance that Nia had to be a serious competitor for Asuka, I think went out the window this week with her...
It's gone with my hole.
Yeah, her talking about her hole. So I think we can both agree that for whatever reason, and there are some reasons, WWE higher ups are very, very much want Lacey Evans to be a star, right?
Mm-hmm.
She's got
has
classic
all the Charlotte
look.
Qualities.
She's tall and blonde, but she also like has a harrowing true life story, and she's a former soldier, and she has this classic look. I feel like the easiest way to make her star would not be to make her a heel, which is what they're doing right now. But I feel like they're hoping that if you put her with Asuka and if you put her with Charlotte, then people will, you know, by the transitive property, will buy her as a main event player.
I mean, that's solid predictions. I think here's where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if somehow if this feud makes it to Mania, Charlotte and Lacey are going to have some sort of match.
Yeah.
And, but I also think that if Asuka does not have an opponent to defend that title, Charlotte is the answer.
Yeah.
So I actually like that. A three-way between Asuka, Charlotte, and Lacey Evans is not a bad idea.
Yeah. All right, I'm locking it in then. It's also nice because then you don't have to have Asuka get her win back over Charlotte necessarily.
Yes, yeah.
All right, we have another one locked in. If you love fantasy booking and if you love the sound of me typing, this is your favorite episode.
Brilliant.
Where do you want to go next?
So I'd say let's start at the top of the show. So we are definitely, we're going to see the armbar, the Andre Memorial Battle Royal.
Yeah.
And I think, I'm not entirely sure, I think there's a women's battle royal scheduled.
I think there will be.
I had to Google it, and they did a women's battle royal in 2018 and 19.
They
skipped
didn't do
last
either
year.
Last year, right?
Yeah. Of course they didn't do a battle royal because of COVID.
Yeah.
So then, yes, there would be a women's battle royal as well. So I'd say for those two, and all we really need to do is predict winners.
Yeah.
So right now for me, I have Keith Lee winning the Andre Battle Royal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it matters, but I think specifically he wins by eliminating Omos, who is finally going to have a real match.
I had Otis winning that because I have plans for Keith Lee.
Ooh.
Elsewhere on the card.
I think he's too big.
Yeah, I think he's a bit too big to be, you know, no pun intended, to be put there.
Okay. Let me, we're going to need to mix it up. I need to hear what your plans are for Keith Lee.
Okay, let me go there then. I think you're going to have another triple threat for a Raw secondary title. I think it's going to be all the big meaty men fighting each other, and you're going to have Bobby Lashley versus Keith Lee versus Braun Strowman. For the United States Championship.
Dang it, that's good.
Because there's already a triple threat for this title scheduled for Elimination Chamber. You just take out Braun and put in Riddle there right now. But I feel like it's more likely that Riddle ends up in the armbar than Keith Lee or Braun, right? Because Braun's already won it. He doesn't need to do that again.
Yeah.
And
Bobby's got the title.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's a... Yeah, I'll take it.
We're putting it up.
That's just good booking.
Alrighty. So Lashley versus Lee versus Braun. Okay, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We got 6 matches locked in.
Ooh.
We know there's going to be 2 arm bars, and we'll kind of see who we have left over to win those. I will say that for the women's one, I had tapped Bailey to win if she's not going to be elsewhere on the card.
That's good. I'd pick Rhea Ripley.
That's the, like, I wonder if Rhea Ripley will be involved in whatever NXT is doing in WrestleMania times too. Like, that was the only thing that that had me not predicting her. I guess, you know what, another good place to predict, because we had similar matches here, is what do we think is going to happen with Randy Orton? This is another top of the card thing.
Sure, yeah. So I went with what everyone thinks is going to happen. I got Randy Orton versus The Fiend with Alexa Bliss. And I mean, I think Fiend's coming out on top finally, because man, they have not been treating The Fiend kind lately. Like, not that they treated him that great, but he needs a win. Like, he wasn't even in the Rumble. Like, Alexa's Rumble spot is still weird and confusing
to
me.
Yeah, very strange.
So I think they need the win, and I think that's the strong potential.
Yeah, I think we'll see The Fiend come back at Elimination Chamber to, like, cause Randy to lose that match.
Yeah.
Right? I had it only slightly different than you. I had a mixed tag match that was Bray and Alexa versus Randy and Nikki Cross. I could see Alexa versus Nikki Cross being a fast lane match though. And then this, you know, Bray and Alexa versus Randy in a cinematic Firefly Funhouse match, like similar to the John Cena one from last year, even though haven't we already got a Firefly Funhouse match between these two?
Randy and Bray.
Yeah, we got the House of Horrors.
The House of Horrors. It was where Randy showed up at the murder house, fridge dumped on him.
And there was for the smallest amount of time, there was announced for Royal Rumble, and like on the Wikipedia for the card, there was a Firefly Funhouse match between Randy and Bray. And then it was gone. So I guess maybe they started filming it and they're like, we need more time to edit this. So like, push it to WrestleMania.
Could be.
So that's not like, do we want to lock that in then?
I'm cool with locking in that.
Yeah. Okay. Randy versus Bray with Alexa.
Mm-hmm.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven matches down. We're almost halfway there, Tyler.
Chewy.
Oh, boy. Where do we go next?
So I'll go to this one just because this one's a shot in the dark. And I had to mix it up a lot because I realized I had a lot of people from different brands in the match. I think we might see a return to the six-man ladder match for the Intercontinental Championship, which they have done multiple times, I think, at Mania. Yeah. And I think we're going to see my picks were Big E, Sami Zayn, Nakamura, Dominic Mysterio, King Corbin, and a returning Aleister Black.
Okay. This is one where, again, we had a similar idea. Mm-hmm. I had a six-man match for the Intercontinental Championship.
Did you?
I'm willing to say that there's going to be a ladder involved.
Oh.
We both had Big E. We both had Sammy. So I'm going to lock them both in. Who else was on your list, too?
I had Nakamura.
Also on my list.
Because he's got the face turn. He's away from Sammy now, so that's potential. Mm-hmm. Dominic Mysterio.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if they're doing big things with Dominic lately, but
you got to get him on the cards.
I think this is a good showing for him.
Yeah.
King Corbin, just because I had no idea what else that he was going
to
do.
You need a heel in this match, too.
Yep.
I also had Corbin.
And a returning Aleister Black.
Great. So the two that I had that were different from you are... I had Kevin in there, and I had Daniel Bryan in there.
See, those were, at one point, I think, rather than, like, Corbin or Mysterio or something, I had Daniel Bryan thoughtful.
Yeah.
But
I guess, like, because we both almost had him in our main event.
Yeah,
so, like, what else could Daniel be doing now that he's not?
You know he's on the card. There's no way Daniel Bryan's not in a match. So if we're not booking him for against Drew, this has got to be the match.
Okay, then I'm going to put Daniel Bryan in here.
I'd be willing to boot.
It's also like I don't know what Kevin's going to do because it seems like Kevin is fighting Roman a bit more.
Yeah, KO's got to be on the card too. I'd be okay booting. I guess Aleister Black from that. Maybe he won't return.
He's been kind of signaling a return on social media.
Yeah.
But that could also be after WrestleMania, too.
He could also just not be returning after they fired his wife.
That's true. Yeah, this is we both seem pretty confident that this match is going to happen. It's just, like, figuring out.
Who?
I guess we also don't have Seth anywhere on the card yet, either.
I do.
He is a...
But,
okay, yeah, you do.
Okay, that's then, a shot in the dark, though.
Yeah. I have a similar shot in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, let's hold a spot, a TBD sixth spot for
on
this
the,
right
on
now.
That. Okay.
And then see who the biggest person on the SmackDown roster who we don't have in a match is.
Okay.
And then put them in this Intercontinental Ladder match. So you give me your shot in the dark, and I'll give you my shot in the dark.
Okay, so my shot in the dark, and this is it's shot in the dark because I don't think it'll happen. There's reasons to believe it could happen. It's plausible, but I don't know if it's happened. I think that we are going to see Finn Balor defend the NXT title against Seth Rollins because Balor's the NXT champion. We're going to want to have an NXT presence on Mania to keep them on level playing field. They're the same amount of eyes on them as for Dynamite. Seth Rollins just came back. Seth Rollins doesn't really have anything to do right now. We're going to want Seth Rollins on Mania. He's not going to be facing Roman most likely. He's not going to be facing Drew most likely. Seth Rollins has been NXT champion. Seth and Finn have history with like the Universal Championship match, and Balor got injured. And like... I think it could happen.
Yeah. I had a similar match of Balor defending the NXT title at WrestleMania against someone he has history with, although slightly less history than Seth Rollins, and I have him versus AJ Styles.
See, and that's the other one, because that's like the dream match also.
Yeah, that is, I think the argument for that one is that it takes some attention away from what all the other wrestling companies are doing, right? By having their own Bullet Club.
Exactly.
Match.
Exactly.
But I don't know if that, like, I feel like Seth versus Finn is more likely, honestly.
I mean,
I have an idea, another idea for AJ. It's not a great idea, but
let me hear it. Yeah.
So my other idea, I had AJ versus Rey Mysterio in a singles match.
Yeah.
This is because Rey being one of the people that almost eliminated from the Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
So there's impetus for the storyline. We haven't, to my knowledge, we haven't seen AJ Styles versus Rey Mysterio in a singles match, and oh, what a dream match that would be.
Yeah, that seems like the first match of the night, right?
Yeah, what a great opener. That was my idea for AJ, pulling him, giving reason to have Seth versus Balor, but there's absolutely also good reasoning why they could do Balor versus AJ. Again, WWE is not ignorant to the happenings in the wrestling world. Mm-hmm. They know that this Bullet Club reunion global takeover thing is happening. Why not do your own Bullet Club thing?
Yeah. I'm willing to go with Seth versus Finn and also putting on AJ versus Rey. I feel like there's an outside shot that they do an AJ versus Jeff Hardy thing, because they're both going to be in that Elimination Chamber match.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
because I guess Rey and AJ aren't on the same show, but that doesn't really matter. This is a high-flying dream match, even if neither of them are that high-flying anymore.
And even though they're not necessarily on the same brand, this could be spurred by something that happened at a cross-promotion pay-per-view like the Rumble, so mm-hmm. there's no reason they can't have a feud about this. I'm cool with locking in both of those.
Yeah, I'm going to lock in both. I'm going to bring up one more potential thing I had for AJ, but I didn't do because he's not on the same brand, is mm-hmm. that since AJ and Omos eliminated Big E from the Rumble, that could have been a match. And that mm-hmm. would be a good star-making turn for Big E. But I think there's a lot more hoops that need to be jump mm-hmm. through to make that happen. Yeah. Okay, so we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 matches on the card. We got 4 more matches to make before the arm bars.
Before the arm bars, woof.
Yeah. Some other titles that are not yet on our...
So now that... Because it's mixing up the matches. So now that... Nia is freed up on my side.
Mm-hmm.
Could we see Nia and Shayna defending the women's titles against someone?
Yeah, I had a wild prediction for that based on trying to get more star power on mm-hmm. the show. And based on the fact that Natalia posted a photo to Instagram of her and this person and then immediately took it down.
Okay.
And so I have Nia and Shayna versus Natalia and Trish Stratus.
Wow. Okay. I thought you were going to say Natalia and Lana, but
I mean, I don't know if that storyline is going to make it through
I
WrestleMania.
Hope not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
Who else
could
be in that tag spot?
Well, you see, I was struggling to find someone. What female tag teams do we have right now? So I guess the Riot Squad, but there's no way I see them going over Nia and Shayna. Not that they have to, but...
You could do Billy with somebody.
Billy with someone.
Could find a partner.
Yeah.
You could reunite the Iconics.
You could do that.
You could do Ember and someone like Naomi. I'm just trying to think who are the other bigger people who you want to get on the card. I think we know that Nia and Shayna will defend it against someone.
Yeah.
on this card.
And they'll definitely have the titles till then.
Yeah. So them versus TBD is kind of what I have right now.
Versus the formidable team of Vacant.
We also have both men's tag titles yet to be on here. We can't do one of the ones that I had because I had Rude and Ziggler versus the Mysterios. So that's now off.
Okay.
Table.
So if I may, mm-hmm. and I'm not confident about this one, but I guess it's possible because now all of these men are free. I think we could see Ziggler and Rude defending the titles against Cesaro and KO.
Yeah, talk to me about this Cesaro and KO team.
literally, it there is no storyline reasoning for this. Purely that they are both on SmackDown. KO suddenly doesn't have anything to do. And I think a pairing with him and Cesaro as tag champs is excellent.
So does that mean that we put Dominic into the ladder match? Because we still have one spot left there.
I still have Dominic in the ladder match. I think that'll be a good... Again, it's a good spot for him to showcase his, you know, potential high flying. There's going to be five other veterans in there to make sure, like, everything's good. So... I'm confident on that one.
Great. Then I'm going to put in Ziggler and Rude defending the titles against the yet to team together Kevin Owens and Cesaro.
Yeah, I don't know how that's going to come together, but
okay, so we've got 12 matches now. Let me throw out an idea for the Raw Tag Team Championships that I think makes maybe a bit more sense.
Okay.
It is a four corners tag match. New Day versus the current champions of the Hurt Business versus the Hardy Bros, that's Jeff Hardy and Matt Riddle, versus some combination of Retribution.
Yeah.
Because New Day and Ali have been, you know, fighting. Mm-hmm. And Riddle's been fighting with the Hurt Business. So this seems like a way to keep them going.
That's a good guess. Let's lock it.
Okay, I'm locking that in.
I don't even know if I had a guess for the Raw tag team title.
Yeah, we're getting to the bottom of the barrel here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. We have 13 matches, so we have room for one more match before the arm bars.
Okay, so who is available? Who are we forgetting?
Aleister Black is available. Ricochet is available. Otis is available.
I'm cool with what we have now. I'm cool to book Otis winning the armbar. That's a good guess.
Yeah. I like that there. Oh, you know what? Why don't you talk about a particular, there's another title that could be won and lost many times on this show. You have a very bold prediction.
So, this is like, not only a prediction for the title, but just this all around. I think we are going to see, the guest host for WrestleMania 37 is going to be Rob Gronkowski, round two, Electric Boogaloo. And I think there is potential that we could get a Tom Brady cameo.
Yeah.
If like it happens, it'll be a pre-taped video thing. I don't think Brady is going to show up at Mania, but there's no reason he couldn't do like a pre-taped video thing. Maybe we see Brady win the 24 title for a stint. Maybe Gronk gets it back from him. There's no way I can predict the number of 24/7 title changes or even who will be the champion. Cause I'll have, you know, I had to look it up today and R-Truth just won the title back from Doug Flutie.
Oh really? Man, yes. I thought he just won it back from Pete Rosenberg, but I guess.
No, Rosenberg lost it at some point. Yeah. Somehow Doug Flutie got it.
Wow. Good for Doug Flutie. That must've been like some Super Bowl promotion.
Something
so I'm going
like
to put
that
as our 14th match, Gronk versus R-Truth, the 24/7 title.
You think they're going to get a full match?
No,
just...
no, okay. But like I think this will be a segment that happens at least once on both nights, you know?
Yes, yep.
I think they'll be involved. That's fair. So then we have Otis winning the armbar. The other big people, I guess Sheamus hasn't been used.
I think Sheamus might just be relegated to the armbar, honestly.
Yeah, I think his WrestleMania match is going to be a Fastlane.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, his big showing is going to be Fastlane.
And then women's armbar.
If we don't want to lock in Bayley for the SmackDown women's title, her winning the armbar is a good call.
Yeah. Okay. So we have our full 16 card, or 16 match card.
Wow.
Do you want me to run it down from bottom to top?
All right, hit it.
All right. You heard it here first, everyone. These will be the the 16 matches at WrestleMania 37 live from Raymond James Stadium, April 10th and 11th. So in the women's armbar, Bayley's
in no particular
win
order.
Yeah. Bayley's going to win, probably last defeating someone like
Rhea Ripley.
Yeah, I don't know. Someone like Natalya. In the men's armbar, Otis is going to win. Probably eliminating someone like Ricochet.
Or Tucker.
Oh, yeah. Oh, actually, you know what? That makes sense. Otis last eliminates Tucker to win the armbar. There will be multiple segments of the 24/7 title being contested between Gronk, R-Truth, probably the Hurricane, you know.
Yeah, maybe, probably the Hurricane.
Maybe some COVID first responders who are there in the audience. You know, I'm still curious to see if there is going to be an audience. I guess we have to wait and see how much of a super spreader event the audience, Super Bowl was. Yeah.
They think there's going to be an audience, but we'll see.
Yeah. The Raw Tag Team Championships will be in a fatal four-way match between The New Day, The Hurt Business, Riddle and Hardy, and Retribution. The WWE SmackDown titles, probably on the pre-show, are going to be between Ziggler and Rude defending against Kevin Owens and Cesaro.
My new favorite tag team.
Yeah, Cesar KO. You heard it here first. If that one's right, I will eat my hat. Like that's, but I'll be so proud of us though. Okay. The women's tag titles, Nia and Shayna Baszler will defend against Natalya and someone. I think Natalya and a women's legend.
Yeah. What do you think the over under on Trish Stratus showing up is?
I think that's the most likely. I think I do buy into when wrestlers quickly delete photos like that. Like I buy into that.
Okay.
The NXT title will be contested between Finn Balor and Seth Rollins. And this is assuming that Finn Balor defends it against Pete Dunne. Yeah.
Yeah. Fingers crossed.
AJ Styles will face Rey Mysterio in the battle of the best video game wrestlers ever. There will be a cluster WWE Intercontinental Ladder match. Big E will defend against Sami Zayn, Shinsuke Nakamura, Baron Corbin, Daniel Bryan, and Dominic Mysterio. There will be a pre-taped Firefly Funhouse match where Randy Orton will face Bray Wyatt with the help of Alexa Bliss. I'm hoping that we get to see you know, all the different versions of Randy Orton in here.
With John Cena.
I want to see Ohio Valley Wrestling Champion Randy Orton.
Yeah, Randall Orton.
I want to see Orton Legend when Killer. He was wearing those blue and yellow like shorts.
Yeah,
and had the like really dumb haircut when he first debuted.
I want Legend Killer Orton.
Evolution Orton.
Evolution
and,
Orton.
I guess that's it.
And he hasn't changed since 2006.
Yeah, I want the Marine Randy Orton or the Condemned Randy Orton or whatever. The WWE United States Championship will be in a triple threat of big, large men with Bobby Lashley, Keith Lee, and Braun Strowman. The WWE Raw Women's Championship will also be in a triple threat match between Asuka, Charlotte, and Lacey Evans. The SmackDown Women's title will be contested between Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair. Miz and Morrison will face off against Damian Priest and Bad Bunny.
Mm-hmm.
The WWE Championship will be contested between Drew McIntyre and Triple H. And
God, I hope so.
The night is going to close with the WWE Universal title. Where Roman Reigns will defend against Edge. Can I give you... I know I didn't pick any winners. Can I give you what my pick here is?
Sure.
That WrestleMania 37, in a year without a whole lot of star power, is going to do something gimmicky to, you know, cement this show as being different. And I think that the Miz will cash in and win it from Edge after Edge has... won the Universal title.
Oh, that is the potential. The briefcase. It's a potential. Yeah. And
to be the the ultimate opportunist to the person who
was the ultimate. It's the passing of the torch, man.
And then that's your storyline for the next few months.
Wow, that's to me, that's like a nightmare scenario, but that is not saying that it is not likely. Like that is good predictions. Possibly. Yeah. If we're throwing out like crazy fantasy booking right here, mm-hmm. it's nothing like super hype or anything, but I think it would be hilarious if they did an angle where Billy Kay accidentally like aligned herself with Retribution over the night. Like how she's been giving out her headshot, like maybe mm-hmm. she like accidentally joins Retribution and she's like, oh no, this isn't what I wanted.
You know what, I'll give you one better one. I think WrestleMania 37 ends with Billy Kay having the 24/7 title.
I would love that.
Yeah, I think that'd be great. All right, well, we made it through. How many do you think we actually got right on here?
I think we actually got right Edge and Roman, I'm fairly confident on. Orton, Fiend, fairly confident. Sasha, Bianca, very confident.
Miz, Priest, Bad Bunny, very confident. If we didn't get a lot of these exactly right, I think we got a lot very close.
Yeah. I think we have a solid five or six that are definitely happening.
Yeah, and then it's to see how it shakes out beyond then.
Holding out hope for Drew versus the game, though.
Yeah, I'm now, I mean, more than anything else, I want Cesaro and KO now.
I want this tag team going forward.
That's really what I want Cesaro to swing someone up into KO's arms to pop a powerbomb them. That is... And I mean, Dolph Ziggler is the one to take that bump.
He could swing them around and then do like the knees in the back, like lean, fling him forward into a stunner.
Yeah, I love it. Perfect. Mm-hmm. Great stuff.
real quick. We're already pretty sure like we're not going to see The Rock. He's already made it clear.
No way.
We're not going to see him until people are there. What are the chances we see John Cena?
I think like 1%. I think he posted something. He was like, look, this is where I've been, and these are places I'm contractually obligated to be before WrestleMania. Okay. And it's like, he's like, there's no earthly way that he could quarantine before being there. But I don't know. What? That doesn't need to stop them from making it happen.
What about The Undertaker?
0%.
0%? Oh, God, I hope you're right.
Yeah. I don't think... I mean, other people we didn't mention. Like, we didn't mention Goldberg. We didn't mention Brock Lesnar. I really think Brock is done.
I don't think Brock's coming back.
Yeah. I think Goldberg's loss to Drew was maybe supposed to be a finale for Goldberg.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if any of those people were like, you know what, I will go to WrestleMania, I think... Vince McMahon would put him there in a heartbeat.
Yeah. And I don't think we're seeing Becky until Raw.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense to me. Although
if we do see her on Raw.
Yeah. Even that still seems soon.
Yeah.
To me. So, all right. We got a kind of on paper, a little bit of a forgettable WrestleMania, but with some big matches at the top. I don't know,
man. Some of those matches sound pretty good. I'll subscribe to freaking Peacock for that.
Well, with that, we have run out of time on this episode. Tyler, is there anything you want to tell the listeners before we go?
I don't have anything right now. I will. Oh wait, hold on. I have to relay a message from our AEW correspondent.
Wonderful.
Oh yes. Sarah, our AEW correspondent, would like you to know that she sends her heartfelt congratulations to the newlyweds, Kip Sabian and Penelope Ford, in what was both AEW's and her first wrestling wedding experience.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that.
Yes.
That's great. It's fun the first time. Then you just start getting invited to all of them, and you're like, oh, there go all my vacation days.
I got to take off work. Oh, man. It's a destination wedding? Oh,
boy.
Yeah. That's all I got, man.
Yeah. So with that, I'm going to remind you all that if you want us to answer your questions, the KFave 520, which will return next episode, submit them to us on our website, muchadowrestling.com, or you can email them to us directly, muchadowrestling@gmail.com. As always, we're going to leave you with the words of the immortal William Shakespeare. If wrestling be the food of love, fight on.
My hole!
My hole!
Oh, God. You know Vincent Mann wrote that.
This is some good shit.
This is good shit. Just, you can't say asshole. Say my hole.